today, and let's turn to 2 Samuel today, chapter 23. 2 Samuel, chapter 23 today. And we're going to start reading in verse 8, and we're going to read around a little bit to different places there. And 2 Samuel, chapter 23, and verse 8, we're going to read down to verse 12, and then we're going to jump over to verse 20 and 21, and we won't be reading any verse together today. And the Bible said, "These be the names of the mighty man whom David had, the Tachamite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Ezronite, and he lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eliezer the son of Dodo the Athelite, one of the three mighty men with David. When they defiled the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. And he arose and smote the Philistine until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory." Verse 20, "And Benaiah, the son of Jeconiah, the son of a violent man of Cabeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab, and he went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in a time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man. And the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff, plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hands, and he slew him with his own spear." Thank you. May be seated. Our Father, we come to you, Lord, this morning, and once again we approach the throne of grace, and we're thankful it is a throne of grace, or we wouldn't be able to approach it. Father, we come today and thank you for all that you have given us, Lord, in life, and thank you, Lord, for sustaining us until this day. And as we come, Lord, and have read these verses in the Word of God, these events that happened so long ago, we pray that the Lord would help us to take them and make them applicable unto our life today. The Bible said the things that happened to the people in the Old Testament were written for the admonishment of us in the New Testament, Lord, and we just pray that you'll help us to get some admonishment out of it. Somebody here today, maybe several today, is down and out, discouraged, defeated. I pray you'd get them some encouragement and help today. Lord, there's others here today that have different needs, and I pray that you'll minister with the Word and the Spirit, Lord, to the different needs that are here today. Lord, forgive me of my own sins and failures and shortcomings, and please anoint me today to be able to preach the Word of God, and Lord, to do a good job for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we'll be careful to thank you for all these favors we asked in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We have here listed in these verses that we've read of four of what the Bible calls in verse 8, mighty men. Calls three of them mighty men, but then we add Benaiah there, so four mighty men. Our country needs some mighty men and women for God. Our church needs some mighty men and women for God. Now, all these people, there's four of them that I mentioned here, and they all have this in common. They were all victorious. Every one of them was victorious in the thing that it says about them. Did you know God wants you and God wants me to have a victorious Christian life? These four men, they all had four things in common that made them victorious. If you don't want to be victorious, I promise you, you won't be. You have to believe that you can be victorious. through the Lord. But all of these men, they had at least four things in common. And I think that everybody that is victorious, I think they'll have these four things in common that we want to look at this morning. First of all, the Bible said there in verse 8, the Bible says about this man, Adenio, the Ezronite, he lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. I want to say good night, Ezronite. 800 against one. But the Bible says that he was victorious. That's pretty bad odds when you think about it. 800 to 1. That's not very good odds at all. But I want to tell you that he won despite the odds. And let me say this morning that you can win despite the odds. I will tell you they're stacked against you. If you're here in this world, the odds are stacked against you. But you can still win. When I look here this morning at what this man did and the odds that faced him, the Bible says that the odds did not stop him. They do a lot of people. Look over, if you will, into 1 Samuel 17. Very familiar story there about Goliath and David. And the Bible tells us about in verse 4 about this great champion of the Philistines that went out. And his height was 6 cubits and a span. His helmet upon his head is armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat is 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. His spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And the Bible said down in verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They looked out there and they saw this great giant. Some say 9 foot, some say 13, but he was a big man any way you want to look at it. And when this whole army of Israel saw him, the Bible says that nobody would go out against him. They thought the odds were too great because this giant was so big as compared to them. Did you know a lot of people, they never accomplish in life because of the fact that the odds are against them and they don't think they could ever overcome, and so they just stop and they just give up. I know some folks that, you know, they never try to be anything in life because that maybe they had a bad family and they didn't have ideal parents, and maybe their parents didn't do good, so they just think, I can't do good. But the odds may be against you, but you can still be victorious in your life. Amen. You don't have to not be a winner just because maybe somebody in your family was a loser. You can still be a winner. The odds did not stop him. And then I want you to see here that the odds, talking about David, the odds did not stop him. Little David went out and he said, who is this giant? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Why is it somebody going out against him? David volunteered, and David went out there, and the odds did not stop him. Can I tell you that the odds did not scare him? That's true of this man here that we read about. The odds did not scare him. The Bible said he went out against 800, he said. David said in verse 32 of chapter 17, thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. David said, I'll go. The odds are against me, but I don't care. I'll still go. I'll do what nobody else will do. I believe I can beat him. Can I tell you, folks, listen tonight, a lot of people get scared in life and they never try to accomplish anything because they think the odds are all stacked against them. But don't let the odds scare you. I watched the documentary, I mentioned a couple of times, on the Korean War. And I believe it was in the Korean War that there, at one point, they had our troops surrounded at one point and closing in on them. And there was one man there named Chesney Pulliam. And they said, "We're surrounded." They said, "We're surrounded." And he said, "We got them where we want them now." He said, "We can hit them from any side." You see, it's all how you look at something. Amen. If you think you are defeated, you are defeated. If you think that. But your attitude has a lot to do with your altitude. Some people never get off the ground for God because they got a bad attitude. Amen. Others have a good attitude and nothing seems to bother them at all. They just keep going on for God. I'm talking about facing the odds. Can I tell you that the odds did not slaughter him? The Bible said that against 800 whom he slew at one time. Now I think we all know that he couldn't have took a spear and slew 800 at one time. Not in the sense of just killing them all at once. Not in just sense that he didn't have an AK-47, he had a spear. Amen. But I think what it means, and I wouldn't argue with you, but I think he killed 800 and they just kept coming and he just kept killing them. Amen. He faced them one at a time. Can I tell you how you and I will win? We will win one battle at a time. Amen. Some people never win because they try to fight about 50 battles at one time. Some of them before their time. But the way that you win and the way you beat the odds is you fight these things one at a time. Amen. I know sometimes problems are like bananas. They come in bunches. But you know what? I've found out in just a few years of living, I've found out that the best thing to do is just make a list, either mentally or literally. Make a list of all your problems and just start working on them one at a time. One at a time. Amen. That's what you need to do. The Bible said when the children of Israel went down into Egypt, the Bible says there that he would overcome their enemies little by little. We're not going to win the battle all at once. It's going to be a little bit at a time. And so we see this man, and he faced the odds. All of these men that I read about tonight, they all faced the odds. They were willing to do that. I don't know what's stacked up against you today. Some of you I do, some most of you I don't. But you got to be willing to face the odds. You got to be willing to say, "I can win, even though the world, the devil, everybody else is telling you you can't. I'm telling you you can, because the Bible says you can be an overcomer in the Lord. You can overcome these things." Amen. Then we read about this man here, Eliezer, the son of Dodo, the Ithlalite. How would you like to have a name like that, Dodo? How'd you like to go to school and somebody say, "What's your father's name?" Dodo. Well, they might have ridiculed him some, but I'd say not but once, the way this man was. Amen. But they say that Eliezer, the son of Dodo the Ithlanite, in verse 10 it said, "He arose and he smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day." Now all of these beat the odds and they would not quit. Number one, you got to face the odds. Number two, they finish the fight. They finish the fight. Can I tell you, brother, that nobody ever wins that quits fighting? The great Apostle Paul, the great champion of the faith, what did he say when he come down to the end? He said, "I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course." He said, "Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous Lord shall give me, and not to me only, but all those that love his appearing." Here's a man that finished the fight. You and I have to finish the fight. Amen. We have to fight the good fight of faith. If someone told you that all you had to do was get saved and you had it made. They didn't tell you the whole story. When you got saved, you got it made as far as saved. But brother, you're in for the fight of your life. Amen. I'll tell you, it's a fight every day. You know that. If you don't, you're not saved, or you ain't been saved but one day or something, because I tell you, it's a fight every single day. It's a fight from the time you get out of bed until the time you get back in the bed, sometimes while you're in the bed. It is a fight. But Brother Eddie, these men overcome. All of them overcome. And the reason they overcome was because of the fact they would not quit. Amen. Thank God for people that will not quit. I didn't say you didn't feel like you wanted to quit. I didn't say sometimes you thought about quitting. I didn't say you may have thrown down the towel and sat down for a few minutes. But the bottom line is you would not quit. Amen. Thank God for these men that give us an example of people that can win if they'll just keep on until they finish the fight. Now let me tell you about this man. Let me tell you about Adenio. Did you know he finished without any help? Look, if you will, it says in your Bible in verse 9 of chapter 23, it said the men of Israel were gone away. They all left. He's there by himself. He doesn't have the army of Israel behind him. It's just him. He fought without any help. Well, let me say with almost out any help, because the Bible said the Lord wrought a great victory that day. Paul said at my first stance, he said, nobody stood with me but the Lord. Did you know if nobody's for you, if your husband's not for you, your wife's not for you, your children not for you, if God be for you, who can be against you, my friend? I'm glad, listen, that it's good to have help. It's good to have people around you. But I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes that every friend you got, sometimes everybody you got, everybody you know, they're going to back away from you. Don't get mad at them because it's not them. God is having them to do that because God wants you to depend in Him and Him alone. God wants you to have friends, but don't depend in them. We just had this election. I've been praying, God, don't let us make the mistake Isaiah made. You say, what did Isaiah do? He got his eyes set on Uzziah. He thought Uzziah was going to be all the answer, but God Uzziah died, and then he saw where the real answer was. High and lifted up was the Lord. I thank God. Amen. I'm glad God puts men in place, but we can't look to men as our salvation. We have to look to God, and if they look to God, amen, we can win. Praise God. I want you to know that he fought without any help. Sometimes you're going to have to go it alone. Some of y'all has been doing that for a long time. You don't get much help around the house, but you just been going it alone. And you're winning. And you're going to be an overcomer, praise God, if you'll just hang in there. The Bible said that he finished without help. But then notice this. The Bible said his hand was weary. He finished even though he was weary. Oh, we get tired in the battle. Don't you know this man was out there fighting? Don't you know that when he was out there fighting that he got weary? He got weary of fighting all these Philistines. I want you to know, friend, it ain't a sin to be weary. Amen. People always telling me this. They say, Brother Rick, you look tired. You look worn out. I said, well, they say heaven's a place of rest, and I won't be tired when I get there, praise God. Amen. Amen. Some people won't need no rest because they ain't done nothing down here. But I want you to know, listen, I want you to know that even though we get weary, the Bible said, be not weary in well-doing. Because what does it say? You will reap if you faint not, if you don't quit, if you don't throw in the towel, if you don't stop. We all get tired. I get tired of coming to church sometimes. And I love church. But I get tired of it. I sometimes get tired of going to the prayer room. I get tired of sometimes telling people about the Lord and them rejecting it or throwing the tract down. I get tired of it, Brother Eddie. And everybody else that does that stuff's the same way. But listen, just because we get tired and weary, God understands that. Jesus got weary and he sat down on a well, but he didn't quit. He didn't stay home that day. He was tired and weary, but he didn't give up. He kept on going. And because he did, a woman at the well got saved that day. Praise God. Amen. I'm telling you, we got to keep on keeping on for the Lord. He finished even though he was weary. Can I tell you this? The Bible said his hand clave under the sword. Amen. It clave under the sword. Now, Brother Rondell took me fishing the other day, and I couldn't understand this passage except for that day. He took me fishing. Don't ask me where. Somebody said, where'd you catch a man? I said, in the upper lip. I learned that from Brother Marty. But I never seen nothing like it. For 1 hour, it was just all you could do. I'm talking about, to me, big fish. Not some of y'all, but to me, big fish. We caught so many fish. I mean, just throwing it out there, reeling it in, taking it off, throwing it out there, reeling it in. The next morning, my hands were swelled from holding that rod and reel, not being used to it, and winding it. My hands were swelled. They were sore of just holding that so long. Now here's a man that held a sword and fought against the whole army of Philistines, just killing one after the other, until when he got done, his hand clave to the sword. I'll explain this in another way if you're not a fisherman. A lot of you used to cut tobacco. Amen? When you cut tobacco and you first start out and you take that tobacco knife and you're cutting that tobacco and you're cutting it, and boy, after about 4 or 5 rows, you get big blisters all the way across your hand. And when you go to release that, it kind of sticks to it. It's cleaving to it. That's what it is. Now, if you're not a fisherman, if you're not a tobacco cutter, let me give you another, and I think you'll be able to identify with this one. If you've ever had anybody, maybe your mama when you was little, maybe your wife, put a Band-Aid on you, and then after about 2 days, they come over there and they rip that off, hair and all. They said it adhered to you, it claved to you. Well, this man was so weary that he had fought these, but he did not give up. Some of you are weary today. You have every right to be weary today, but don't give up. Amen. You can be victorious in the Lord. Let me tell you this. He said here that he finished, and he said his hand clave unto the sword. You see, he finished. He wasn't worried about himself. His hand had to be hurting. But he wasn't worried about himself right then. He's worried about winning the battle. Amen. He's worried about winning the battle. You and I cannot worry about how we feel sometimes. We have to worry about winning the battle. Amen. If I go by the way that I feel, I wouldn't be here all the time. I can promise you that. Amen. How many knows when you get 62 years old, you don't feel like you did when you were 16? I know I've had people say, how you feeling? They're the same age as I am. How you feeling? Like a 16-year-old. Liar. It don't work that way. Amen. And I'm trying to encourage you, but I will say this. Some of these other fellas told me it gets worse the farther you go. But no matter how bad it gets, we got to keep on keeping on for the Lord if we're going to finish this fight. Amen. We entered into this race, and we need to finish this race. The Lord will help us. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Then look at this other man here. He says there in verse 11, he said, and after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hermite, and the Philistines were gathered into a troop. where was a piece of ground full of lentils. That's peas. And the people fled from the Philistines, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord brought a great victory. Number one, face the odds. Number two, finish the fight. Number three, stay focused on the enemy. Stay focused on the enemy. The Bible said he slew a troop. They're all together. He's watching all of them. He's staying focused. He can't take his eye off the enemy.
Amen.
If you take your eye off the enemy, you'll be a dead man. Your Bible said be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary is a lion. He's stalking about, seeking whom he may devour.
Amen.
He can't get you if you're watching. It's when you don't watch, that's when he's going to get you. Amen. So we see he saw the enemy. He knew who the enemy was. The devil will try to get you off focus. He'll try to make you think some other flesh and blood person's your enemy. He'll try to make you think somebody on the other side of the church is your enemy. He'll try to make you think the preacher's your enemy. He'll try to make the preacher think the people are his enemy. But I'm telling you, the real enemy is the devil.
Amen.
Stay focused on the real enemy.
Yeah.
Don't see the people, see the devil behind them.
Amen.
That's what Jesus did when Peter came and he said, "Lord, I'll never let you go to the cross." And Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan."
Amen.
See, he knew it wasn't Peter. He knew it was Satan. And when you get to where you can identify the devil and you realize it's not your husband, it's not your wife, it's the devils who you're fighting. You see, he tries to get you to fight everybody else except him. But what you want to do is you want to go to him in the name of the Lord. Amen. He saw the enemy. He was not sidetracked by others. The Bible said the people fled from the Philistines. But he was not sidetracked. The devil will try to get you sidetracked. He'll try to get you majoring on minors and minoring on majors. But you need to stay focused. You need to stay to what the real purpose is, to what you're trying to do, who you're trying to defeat. And then the Bible said he stood. He stood. He didn't sit down. He didn't give up. He just stood in the middle of that pea patch, and he just kept fighting until all of them was defeated. Amen.
Amen.
You know, they're going to keep coming, folks.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. The devil's got a big army.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to keep coming, but you got to keep standing.
Yeah.
You got to just keep swinging. You just got to keep fighting in the name of the Lord. And if you'll do that, God is able to wrought a great victory in your life. Amen. I'm talking about how to be victorious in the Lord. You have to face the odds. You have to finish the fight. You have to stay focused on the enemy. I remember years ago, Brother Hiles was preaching at his great church up in Hammond, and he was preaching about the devil, and he was telling about, kind of like I'm preaching, and he say you got to fight the devil. You got to defeat the devil. And then after it's all over, a little bus kid come up to him and said, "Dr. Hiles," said, "what does the devil look like?" And Dr. Hiles had about 100 deacons, and one of them was standing there, and he pointed to that deacon jokingly, and he said, "He looks just like him." And that little bus kid went over and reared back, and he hit that deacon right in the belly as hard as he could, said, "Take that, devil." Amen. Well, if we could shoot the devil with a gun, I got plenty of them, and I'd be glad to do it. If we could tie him down with a rope, I'd be glad to do it. If we could get him in a cage and lock the door, I'd be glad to do it. But you see, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of every stronghold. Amen. We have to use spiritual weapons to fight a spiritual devil. We'll never defeat him. Amen. Let's look at this last person here over in verse 20. The Bible says Benaiah. I like Obaniah. And he said he was the son of Jedekiah, the son of a valiant man. And the Bible says, who had done many acts. He slew two lion-like men of Moab, and he went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in a time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. Now, we have to focus on the enemy. We have to finish the fight. We have to face the odds. But look what this man teaches us. And they all four did all of these things. All four of them. He was fearless, and they were fearless against the opposition. They were all brave men. The best definition I ever heard of courage is fear that said its prayers. Everybody's always got some degree of fear unless you're just stupid. Amen. But listen, you can overcome your fear if you've said your prayers. If you believe, that's what David had done. David had said his prayers. That's why he could go down there and face that Goliath. And that's why he could go down there and say, I come to you in the name of the Lord. I know I'm a ruddy lad. I know I'm nothing. But I serve God, and God's with me. And God will help me. And he went down there and he slew that big old giant. Boy, don't you love it in verse 51 when he ran, got on top of him, pulled his sword out, and cut his head off with his own sword. I like it when you can cut the devil's head off with his own sword. Amen. But the Bible says that they were all men of courage. They all had the odds against them. It said here there were two lion-like men. How many know two against one is not good odds? Especially when they're lying like men. Amen. Just two of them against this one man, the odds were stacked against. And I tell you that, listen to me, 7 out of 10 people that gets married, unless it's changed in the last little bit, winds up in divorce. The odds are stacked against a married couple, young married couple, the odds are stacked against them. If you add a divorce to that, you can double the odds. And add another one, you can double it even more. But let me tell you something. You can defeat the odds. If you'll put God in your marriage, put God in your life, I'm telling you, it don't matter what the numbers say. We've seen that this week. It don't matter what the numbers say. If you got God on your side, you can beat the odds. Amen. God helps the odds. You take a Christian man, a Christian woman, both are saved, both love God, both going to church. I'm telling you, the odds will go way up. Amen. Amen. Again, young folks, you don't have to come from a perfect home to wind up a winner. I mean, we could take another 30 minutes just telling you of people that come from the very worst of situations, but they overcome, they achieved. You say, why? Because of these things that were in their life. That's why. You can still be a winner. The odds were against them. Two lying like men. Bible said two's better than one. Not if the one's got God with them. The Bible said he went down in there and he said he slew two lion-like men of Moab. Slew them. Beat them up. Killed them. Two against one. Amen. How'd he do that? Well, you've done better than that. There's been times you've beat three. The world, the flesh, and the devil. You've done it with Jesus Christ on your side. You done it with Jesus Christ helping you and having faith in the Lord. Amen. The Bible says the odds were against him. But you know, so they keep coming. He slew two lion-like men. That's enough for any one day. But the Bible said then, he said he went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in a time of snow. Not only was he against the odds, but he overcome the obstacles. It's a cold day. It's snowing. The lion is down in a pit. He's got to go down into that pit to face that lion. He's got to go down in there. He's got to overcome some obstacles to be able to defeat that lion. The Bible said he went down in there.
Yeah.
It's a snowy day, Eddie. How many knows when it snows, the ground's slick? How many knows when you're going down, you're more likely to fall than you are standing on level ground? So you got snow, you got a downward trip into a pit, you got a lion there waiting for you when you get down in there. You say, how in the world did he do it? Well, I'd say he probably watched his step. I'd say he watched where he walked. Let me tell you, it's important to watch where you walk in this world. Amen. Some of the time our trouble's because of where we walk. We walk in the wrong place. But I believe he watched his step, Brother Eddie, as he was going down. I believe that he probably held on to the sides. He had something to hold on to. I'm glad I got something to hold on to today. I've got the Lord. I got the Word of God. I got the promises of God. I've got the Holy Ghost of God. Snowy day. How many knows that a lion's bad no matter where he's at? But when you find him down in a pit, evidently, he's got trapped. He's fell into that pit. He's down in a pit. How many have ever confronted a trapped animal and got it backed up against a way where there's no way out? He's going to come out of there fighting for his life. So here he is going down. Here he is going down on a snowy day. Here he is facing a ferocious, mad lion. But he's still won. Can I tell you, listen, we're in a world where it's easy to fall. It's slippery out there. You can fall as a Christian. I'm telling you, we're in a world where there ain't much to hold on to. But there is the Word of God. There is the Son of God. There is the promises of God. There is past experiences. That's what David held to. David said one time, I was watching my sheep, and he said a lion came, a bear came, and he said, God killed him. He said, this uncircumcised Philistine, he ain't no more to God than that. God can take care of him. I won't tell you this morning, I don't know what you're facing, but God can take care of it. But don't expect God to take care of all of it. You have to fight. You have to overcome the obstacles with the help of God. You see, you and I, we're up against a lion that's trapped. He knows that he don't have but a short time. He's a mad devil. Hadn't happened yet, but the Bible said there's coming a day when God's going to kick him out, and he's coming down to earth having great wrath. You think he's mad now? Wait till then. Amen. I'll tell you something. I got up one morning this week and got me a cup of coffee and sat down there and I read all the way through the Revelations again. Front to back. Guess what I found out? The thing's rigged. We can't lose. Amen. If we're on God's side, if we're on the winning side, the thing's rigged. We can't lose. Praise God. I said, hallelujah. I'm glad. Amen. You say, here it was, and he was an overcomer. All of these men were overcomers. They overcome everything that came into their life. They overcame it by faith in God.
Amen.
It's what you and I are going to do from front to finish. The Bible says, 1 John, he says here in 1 John 5 and 4, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Romans 8 said you're more than conquerors through God that loved you. The Bible says you and I are winners. We may not feel like it sometimes, but the Bible says we are. Well, two lying like men, a real lion down in a pit, think that'd be enough. Look in verse 21, he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand. But he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. He did it again. I like that. Amen. So here we go, and I'm done. Here's what this man did. He overcame two lion-like men, the flesh. These men were fleshly men. These men were men. But he overcome them. He defeated them. He overcome the flesh.
Amen.
Us preachers and us teachers were always telling you that you got flesh and you got spirit and you bad and you do what you do because of your flesh. That's all true. But I want to tell you something. The flesh is not supposed to win every time.
Amen.
There should be more times that you overcome him.
Yeah.
By the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen. It's old, but it's just the way it is. When two men get in a fight, a fight that's fair fight, I tell you who's going to win, the strongest man. Same thing's true. When two spirits get into it, the flesh and the devil, the flesh and God's Spirit, when they get into it, I'll tell you who's going to win. The one that's the strongest, the one that you've been feeding, the one that you've been exercising, the one that you've been trying to build up, that's who's going to win.
Amen.
Amen. Some people never win battles because you can't win battles watching television all the time.
Amen.
Amen. I like Andy Griffith as good as anybody. But I've never been able to stand up against the devil and say, in the name of Ernest T. Bass, flee. It won't work. You got to stay in that book. You got to flee. You got to feed your spirit. You got to pray. That's where we're losing at, folks, is in Bible reading and praying. We got to read that Bible. We got to pray. But then you know what else you got to do? You got to do what Kelsey was doing this morning. I don't mean run 5 miles, but you got to exercise your body.
Yeah.
Amen. Same thing true of your faith. You got to use your faith. You got to use what you know. You got to use the Spirit of God God's gave you. You got to use that and build it up. And when you get built up, you'll win more battles.
Amen.
You said a line. All right? We see here two lion like men, that's the flesh. We see a lion, that's the devil.
Yeah.
I just quoted it. Your devil, your adversary, the devil stalks around like a roaring lion. Amen. And then there's this huge Egyptian. Egypt in the Bible is always the top of the world. We got a big world out there we got to face. We got a big world to overcome. But I just quoted you. You can turn over there and read it yourself today. 1 John 5 and 4 said, whatsoever is born of God, it overcometh the world.
Amen.
Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome.
Amen.
Amen. I'm preaching this morning about how to be victorious. We don't have to be defeated Christians. We don't have to be at the mercy of the devil. We don't have to lose all the time. Amen. God wants us to be winners for Him in the name of Jesus. And I hope and pray by the grace of God that you and I will be willing to face the odds. This is what we're up against. We have to face the odds. We have to be willing to finish the fight. I know some folks that done great, fought a good fight for a little while, and then they quit. Enemy overcome them. We've got to focus on the enemy. Keep our eyes on the devil, the flesh, the world. We've got to be fearless against opposition. How many times did Jesus tell us, be not afraid? Joshua 1 and 8 said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then shall they make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded, be strong, be of courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest." Amen. I went to Dallas last January. Me and Kenny Calloway's, they just announced, were, I think they said, 40,000 feet in the air. Kenny's never flew before. I said, "Kenny, look down here." "Uh-uh." He said, "What's down there?" I said, "Look." "Uh-uh." And I could tell he was really nervous. And I got my Bible and I said, "Look here, Kenny. It said, 'For the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest.'"
Amen.
I said, "God's with us 40,000 feet in the air, praise
Amen.
God."
Amen.
Amen. We don't have to be afraid. God's with us. Jesus, you said, that sound like preacher talk. Sound like Jesus talked to me.
Yeah.
He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me." Amen. That's what Jesus said. Amen. Well, I hope today, maybe somebody's about ready to give up. Maybe somebody's doing like this. Maybe somebody's fixing to throw in the towel. Don't do it. You may be closer to victory than you realize. Just keep holding on. Hang on to God. Lord, I thank you this morning for all the blessings of God. And thank you for all these great examples in the Bible. People of like passion, just like us. They fought great battles. Various battles. Strong battles. Emotional battles. Financial battles. Physical battles. But Lord, you put them in the Word of God and showed us how they overcome by faith in the Lord. God, I pray you've helped somebody today that just needed a word from the Lord. Lord, you didn't say, "I can't do all."